The host is proudly brought to you by the Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone, TASEZ, every Tuesday evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. only on 4DFM 88.2.
Growing South Africa's economy begins with uplifting local communities. This includes creating employment opportunities for communities in the city of Tshwane and the larger Gauteng province. The Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone provides an investor-friendly business environment. Our Special Economic Zone is perfectly placed to provide investors with a wide range of offerings to help their businesses flourish. TASEZ, Africa's first automotive city.
11 past 6 here on Port FM, on the host with me, Papla. That's a beautiful tune there by Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes, and it says, "Wake up, everybody." Now, for me, a song must have meaning. I love songs that have meanings, songs that have a message. And this song says, "Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping. No more backward thinking. It's time for thinking ahead." That's what we should do, especially in this time, you know, nothing is guaranteed. Things change like nobody's business. I mean, if you look at AI, if you look at all the new things, how many jobs are going to be lost? So that's why this song, I think it was recorded in the 70s. It is still relevant today as it was then. Wake up, everybody, wake up and smell the coffee. It is a great honor for me tonight to have Mr. Kutso Semenjani, the TASEZ Stakeholder Engagement Manager. Now, as we all know, TASEZ is the Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone. So we had the CEO also once, and I think Mr. Kutso was here last week as well. But we're going to have these engagements frequently so that we conscientize the youth, so that we drill the message in your head to say there is a TASEZ. Wake up. There's no more time for backward thinking. We're going forward. And if you're not coming with, you're going to stay behind. While the opportunities were there, while we're trying to drill this in your heads about TASEZ, the opportunities and everything, if you're going to stay behind, sleeping in bed, please don't blame people. Don't blame anybody if you're not on this ship to say, let me go find out what's happening there. Let me hear what they have to say. Let me see how I can fit in there. And if I cannot fit in, maybe my friend, maybe my brother, maybe my father, let me encourage them. Let me fill them with information to say, this is an opportunity. Come, let's go and see what's going on there. But we can't just stand up, wake up every day, do nothing, sulk, moan, there's no jobs, government this, government that, politicians this, politicians that. While the opportunity was at your doorstep, TASEZ is here at the Ford Motor Corporation. So it is walking distance. You actually don't even need transport to go there. You can walk and find out. Hey, Mbana, what are you doing? But help yourself. We all have phones. Go on the website. Go on the website. Check out what are they doing for yourself. Check what opportunities can you see there. And if you don't help, then by all means, go there. If you listen and you don't know where to start, call me. My number is 083-347-1218. You can also send a message on our official number 064-119-6071. 064-119-6071. That's our official number here at Port FM. If you miss the interview or you don't know what to ask, ask it on that. We will forward it to the professionals there at TASEZ. And there's no such thing as a stupid question. Please, there is not. There's no such thing as a stupid question. If you don't know, ask. Ask. When I'm lost in a mall, I don't look for a shop. I'm looking for Clicks or Fabiani or whatever. I don't walk around looking for that shop. I stop at the nearest security or the desk and ask, sorry, I'm lost. I'm looking for the shop. Okay, you go that way, that way. There, I'm helped. Imagine going to Menland and you're looking for a shop. You can buy a kilo's opposite. So tonight, we have a pleasure once again, like I said, to share the information, to make us aware that there is the ZES, and they're here right with me in studio, Mr. Kutso Semenjani, the stakeholder engagement manager of the ZES. Sir, good evening, and how are you?
Good evening, Papla, and good evening to the listeners of Port FM. We are extremely humbled to be here. The invite is something that we've been looking forward to.
Now the honor is all ours to have you here in studio, Mr. Semenjani. If you don't mind, just give us a small nyana background about yourself so that we also, since we are going to have a long relationship with the ZES, so that the listeners can also know to say, okay, who are we dealing with?
Well, I'm Kutso Semenjani, born and bred in Mamelodi. I'm the child of the soil. I'm an activist in my own right, but also I've done a bit of studying. I've explored internal audit as a study. I've explored risk management. But I'm passionate about ensuring that the local communities receive what is due to them, because we cannot have an economic growth that is not inclusive. The history of our county dictates that whenever there is any economic activity that happens, it should include those who are historically disadvantaged and the vulnerable amongst us. So that's basically what makes me who I am.
Once again, thank you, Mr. Semenjani. So, okay, let's start off with the questions. It's basic questions, Mensa. That is not swar, that is not rocket science. I know Mr. Semenjani is going to explain it to you in as simple as possible terms. Okay. So in simple terms, Mr. Semenjani, what is the ZES and why should listeners care to be aware of this great thing called the ZES?
Well, the ZES, it's a unique vehicle. It's a Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone, the first SEZ of its kind, which is wholly owned by the government. We have three shareholders in the form of Tshwane as a local government, the province of Gauteng through the Department of Economic Development, and the national government through the DTIC. So we are unique in that sense that there is no entity currently in the country that is owned by all spheres of government. But like I said, we are a special economic zone, and the listeners should care, because special economic zones, by their own intent, are intended to develop the economy of their country, but ensure that we bring along everyone, because these are concepts that were born in democratic South Africa from an SEZ point of view.
Great, great. So, Mr. Semenjani, unemployment, you know, that is one of the biggest challenges in South Africa. There's no township, there's no area that you go that doesn't have high unemployment, especially amongst us, the poor and the vulnerable. So, you know, it remains one of our biggest challenges in South Africa. So what measurable impact is the ZES currently having on job creation?
I think the one impact that we've had as an entity over the last 5-6 years of our existence is firstly to prepare the locals for opportunities. We have been able to, through our training interventions, train a few of our local community members in the area of construction, but also in the area of automotive, so that those people are well trained to be able to enter into the job market. Because I think one challenge that we have and that we have realized is that majority of the job seekers honestly do not know how to apply firstly, but when they do apply, they do not even know how to conduct themselves. So at the initial stage as the organization, what we then prioritized was to ensure that we get our youth job ready in terms of how they conduct themselves in interviews, but also what kind of skills are necessary in the job space for them to make an impact there. So in terms of the impact that we have done, I think it's basically just to ensure that firstly the opportunities that are available to the locals will come to the numbers at a later stage to see what numbers have we generated out of the SEZ, whether it's on job creation or on training, we will be able to speak to those, and what kind of jobs have we been able to generate as an SEZ?
Okay, direct and indirect jobs. How many has the ZES created today, would you say now?
Okay. On the construction side, because as TAS says, our mandate is to develop or to build factories and to attract investment or investors into the country to occupy those facilities or factories. Now, on that side, on construction, we have created just over 6,000 jobs to date. For people who were engaged in construction. And on the jobs that are permanent, meaning people who work for the investors within the SEZ, we have been able to create just over 3,400 jobs,
permanent jobs
within the SEZ. Then indirectly, the 3,400, you would then multiply it by three to get the impact on the indirect jobs. Because for every job we create within the SEZ, there are three other jobs that are created outside the SEZ. Wow. For example, because we're currently dealing on the assembly of the Ford Ranger, Ford VW Amarok, and the Ford Everest, the cars that are done in the SEZ, there is no paint that is manufactured in the SEZ, meaning there are jobs that are created outside the SEZ where people are manufacturing paint that they bring into the SEZ to make sure that the cars have the colors that you see as they drive on the road.
Wow,
so
beautiful.
That is one example of
so the paint is locally manufactured.
At this stage, I would not want to lie on that. But I know there are factories that do supply the paint to Ford Motor Company.
Oh, not all the cars, all the paint. Oh, okay. Many young people say they don't know where to start. You see, that is the thing. When you listen to shows like this, then you have an idea. I mean, nobody knows everything. It's like if you put me now in a factory where we manufacture cement, I don't have a cooking clue how it will work. So I will have to learn from scratch. But the thing is, you need to be curious if you're a young man. You need to go for every lecture that you can get, every opportunity where knowledge is shared. You must go there, even if it's not your field, really. So many youngsters like to say they don't know where to start. Now, so how exactly can someone access training and job-related opportunities linked to TAZES?
I think on this one, firstly, I must applaud the TASIS leadership for what they have set up.
Wow.
It's not an everyday occurrence. What TASIS has set up, we have what we call community liaison officers, nine of them. There are nine wards that are spread across our area that each have a CLO. For example, Ward 43 would have a CLO in the form of Kismo Rasilingwane, which is a local here at Yestera. So if young people from Easteres would want to then access, the first point of contact would be to engage Kismo Rasilingwane.
Wow. Wow.
What we have done with all our CLOs, we have ensured that their cell phones, like mine as well, they become public phones. So at any stage, you can call us. The only thing that we just request is that if they could respect the times of calling. We've had instances where people would call us at the wee hours of the morning. It becomes a bit unease to wake up to a phone call of a stranger. Mm-hmm. But it's something that we've opened ourselves. So from an opportunity point of view, the first point of contact is a community liaison officer. All of the nine wards that are beneficiaries from the TASIS project have a CLO dedicated. We have extended that scope to include other seven wards in Mamelodi, which we excluded. And for all of those, there is a leader of CLOs who's responsible, but also myself as a manager, I become responsible as and when I'm available to take calls or to take information. We're currently finalizing the Nelmapia Skills Center arrangement where our people can come through to make physical contact with some of us in an event where it so happens that they don't get joy with the CLO. They then are able to then escalate that issue to ourselves. But for now, they can escalate on call. But the Nelmapia Skills Center, we're finalizing our arrangement with the city. Once that is settled, we'll then make it a walk-in office where TAS opportunities can be reached from there.
Great. Right, let's recap. First, my point of view is first start with a website. Check what are they doing? What opportunities is there for you? So, as a community liaison officer for TAZES, contact Kismo. Okay, we're going to take the last question, then we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to conclude the interview with the rest of the questions. You know, qualifications is always a problem amongst the youth, Mr. Semenjani. Sometimes they have qualifications. It's in a totally different field, like psychology,
maybe BA history, something else, or they lack qualifications. So what are the minimum qualifications that are required to benefit from TAZES related training programs?
Well, fortunate on that one, it would then depend per training intervention. There are interventions that do not require any minimum qualification for participant to partake in. And there are trainings where you then require a minimum form of qualification. And I'll make example. For you to do training on first aid level 3, you'd obviously need to have level 2 and level 1.
Yes.
But also we have identified training interventions that in the past we were not necessarily focused on, and they are yielding much fruit. And I'll make an example. The forklift training. From a distance, it looks like one of those useless trainings
provide. Yes, it does, yeah.
But from an automotive point of view, almost all our candidates, once they have completed their training, they are easily picked up by the industry, even if it's not necessarily ourselves. Because if you go to Macro, there's a forklift operating there. You go to any big store, whether it's warehouse or what, whether it's your build it or what, you still get a forklift there. And those are the skills that we have since realized that the majority of our young people within the area do not necessarily have. We have even gone as far as providing skills in TLB operator, for example, because we have a lot of these things happening there. Tshwane as a whole, it's currently under construction. Everywhere you go, there's some construction happening.
Yes.
There are machines operating. You then go into that construction site and you check on the operators. Majority of the time are people who are not from local. You ask the local people half the time to not have the required qualification. So as TAZES, we are now bridging that gap and saying, these are the areas we're identifying that maybe our young people need to be exposed to them. How do you operate a rich truck? How do you operate a crane? Those things, so that at least our young people, much as we might not be able to accommodate all of them within the SEZ, but at least you know that we have given them enough skill that when there's a project that comes to ESTRS, they no longer go apply as general workers. They go then apply as people who can be paid at a better salary, mm-hmm. because a TLB mm-hmm. operator would not fetch the same salary as a general worker yeah. who's mixing daga or yeah. something there.
Mm.
So those are some of the areas that we've looked into, but we must not take all the credit. Some of these things is because of the engagements we've had with the local communities to say, but why are you not looking at training us in this field? For example, Code 14, truck drivers. Majority of the ones that we have on our database have since been taken up because the likes of DSV or most of our tenants, they will have trucks that they are using to ferry goods. And there, you'd even be shocked that there are ladies also who are entering into that space. And most of the time, they're easily picked up and they make a good living for themselves because truck drivers might not look fancy from a distance, but you approach them, you look at their bank balance, then you see that is a bit much different from your normal general worker. So those are the areas that we've looked into. But like I said, as far as minimum qualifications are concerned, it will depend per intervention.
Mm.
We don't have a one-size-fits-all. We have had instances where people, even without your grade 11, with grade 10, they come through. There is a training program. For example, I've just made an example of a TLB. They would need minimum grade 10 there. Then you go train. Once you are qualified, you know you can even make your own money.
Mm.
Those guys can even push their side hustles from some of the trainings that we're able to provide there.
I just like the idea that you talk about the TLB drivers and the forklift drivers. It is not so simple that you can just say, even a TLB is worse. I mean, that's like a car, but it's a dangerous car. It can be very dangerous, a TLB. So we're going to take a break here with my technical guy, Neil. And then when we're back, we're going to continue with the conversation.
You are listening to Blood FM, yesterday's number one.
Growing South Africa's economy begins with uplifting local communities. This includes creating employment opportunities for communities in the city of Tshwane and the larger Gauteng province. The Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone provides an investor-friendly business environment. Our Special Economic Zone is perfectly placed to provide investors with a wide range of offerings to help their businesses flourish. TAZES, Africa's first automotive city.
It is 22:07 here on Port FM. I'm in conversation with Mr. Kutso Semejani, the TAZES Stakeholder Engagement Manager. TAZES is the Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone. Our number, official number, WhatsApp number in the station is 064-119-6071. Okay, we are on the second part of our interview. Does TAZES partner with TVET colleges or training institution in Tswane for skills and training purposes? I think that's a very important question, especially for those who got matric, who have passed well, and rather want to go to a TVET college to improve themselves and their qualifications and their passions.
I think the simple answer there is yes, but I'm going to explain it.
Okay.
Because our partnership has already yielded fruits. Currently at TAZES, we have just about 23 interns and graduates. I think 16 of those are from the TVET college, the Tswane North College.
Okay.
Through this engagement with them. So not only are we just signing papers as a form of an agreement, but also ensuring that we realize those agreements. But between ourselves and TNC, we have not yet signed the formal memorandum of understanding. We should sign that memorandum hopefully in this month, if not early in the new month. Then transitions, and on this one, we must invite also, if anyone is listening from Port or anywhere else, and they own a transition, please, they should reach out to us. Because almost every month, we go out to the market to procure training services from different training providers. So if you are in that space, please reach out to us. As Pablo has said, we will leave our details. Please make sure that you use them. Because what we have done, I've just been mentioning forklift, TLB, all those people who provide the training are independent training providers. In most instances, they are small, medium, or micro enterprises that are still coming up. We procure them from our SCM process.
Mm-hmm.
We pay them to provide the service because we also need to make sure that we uplift the training institutions as we uplift those who are looking for employment, but also we uplift training institutions. So we are in that space. We have ensured that we have direct relations with training institutions to ensure that we do skills training. But also as TAZES, we have what we call the TAZES Training Academy, which is an academy that is designed to ensure that we bridge the gap. As things stand, the industry is complaining. The students that are coming out of class are not competent enough to go into the workshop. So the TAZES Training Academy is there to bridge that gap so that we are able then to, out of the academy, produce an employee or an employer in the form of an SMME or an MSME who is able to then recruit but also participate meaningfully in the automotive industry space.
Mm. Wow. How does TAZES ensure that training leads to actual employment and not just certificates? That's also a good question.
Yeah, indeed it is. And like I said, I've just made a few examples with regards to forklift. One example that I've not made is the training that we have provided on upholstery. Strange enough, Pablo, if you go around Port on El Mapias, you will realize that majority of the people who are doing your car seats upholstery are not necessarily local, not as in local yesterday, but also local as in most of them are not necessarily South Africans.
Yes.
Nothing against that, but we are saying there is a need that we infiltrate in that space and ensure that at least we are able to produce locals in that space. So as part of our training programs, there are some who came out of our training program who are looking to venture into that space. But we have ensured that all the trainings that we do, at least there's an exit plan. We might not be able to recruit all of them, but there is an exit plan.
Yes.
If TAZES cannot take, like we said, on the forklift, industry is able to take up. Another example in the TLB, they did their training in December. By January, one of the learners was already employed as a TLB operator, which is something that we count ourselves fortunate that we're able to provide meaningful training and not just certification. So I think that would be a response to that question, to say we always try our best, that we focus on making sure that the trainee is able to then connect and access an opportunity and be able to flourish in that opportunity.
Okay, okay. So how does the surrounding communities prioritize for job opportunities by TAZES? I think we did that one, but if you want to add something there, Mr. Semenjani.
No, thanks, Pablo, for that. I think I need to add what we have done on the jobs front. we have ensured that we set targets in place. For all construction work that happens within the SEZ, we're now going to a phase two of construction. 70% of the jobs will go to locals. Then the 30% will go outside the local area. Locals being Easteres, Mamluni Nelmapia, Silverton area up to the La Montana area. So they were looking at 70%. The same we do on the permanent jobs. The only exception on the permanent jobs is that there would be specialized skills where they're looking for a robotics technician, for instance, which is not resident within the local area, then they can go outside. But the same percentage will still stick there because that is what we have agreed with the investors. Unfortunately, with our phase one, we could not do it perfectly because most of the companies were not virgin companies. They were not starting their production. So they were moving production from one area into the SEZ. And by South African law, they could not terminate those contracts. But for all opportunities that come out of the SEZ, even for our future investors who will come as virgin companies, the percentage split is that 70% of the jobs would go to locals and the balance would go to everybody else. So I just thought I must explain that part also with percentages because initially or earlier when we spoke, we were not direct. So I thought maybe just give a direct answer there.
Okay, okay. Is there a local labor database at the ZES? And how can residents register to be on that database?
Okay, there is a local database that we are keeping, and the community can register through their CLOs. What we have done, because currently we are sitting with just over 16,000 people on our database, and as things stand, we do not necessarily have opportunities because the companies have since employed earlier on about 2-3 years back when they were filling up to capacity. But unfortunately, which is something that is said, and I'm sure you have seen in the news, the automotive industry is bleeding jobs.
Yeah,
Ford has announced 400 jobs, and the SEZ is anchored around Ford business. So if Ford is retrenching, then it means if the number of cars that were produced per day was about 700, and they reduce that number, then everybody else on our site unfortunately gets affected. And of course, a few of our tenants have been reducing their headcount. So as a result of that, we are now we have suspended the database, but as and when opportunities come through our CLOs, we do share with the local communities and we advise that they can then submit their CV so that we work on that. But because we are going into our phase two and there are new investors coming on board, I'm sure my executive at some point will come through to speak on those investors. Then we are going to start up again the database so that by the time those guys land in the country, there's a database that they're able to pick from. But for now, because of those limitations, we have just suspended that process, but it's something that will start.
Okay. Opportunities for youth with no prior work experience. That's also, I think government is scrapping it from their side now. You know, when they say you need to have 3-4 years experience in, let's say, the finance or supply chain or whatever. And I think it's a good move because you come out of tech, you come out of varsity, where are you going to get that experience? You avail yourself for any job, work at the library, maybe voluntarily or so forth. It is not relevant experience towards what you studied. So government says now that is no more required. And like I said, I really think it's a good thing. But from your side now, what opportunities exist for youth with no prior work experience?
The obvious opportunities that exist for those with no experience at all would be your learnership, your internships, but also most of our investors have gone for the YES program. Because as much as the government has scrapped the experience part, the industry is a bit reluctant to take that risk because in the space where we operate in, if you're building, for example, a Ford Raptor and you get an experienced person and they mess up the line, because we are producing just in time, just in sequence.
Yeah.
Any mistake on the line then affects the entire production line.
Exactly.
Which is a difficult one to argue against because the amount of money they lose if the line is disrupted is something that you cannot argue against. But we must applaud the government for the YES program because most of our investors have taken up the YES program. And out of that program, we have seen majority of our young people being able to gain the necessary experience to participate fully within the automotive value chain. But equally, having said that, it does not mean we then exclude those without experience. There would be roles where somebody can just come in fresh from school and then we incorporate them into that role because there is enough supervision on the role and the person can grow within the role. So because of the nature of our work as a SEZ, it's varied. We have production happening, we have administration happening, we have finance, we have IT. So we're able in certain areas to then bring in those without experience to say, how do we train you up so that at least you get to the level where you are able then to participate meaningfully. So I think that will be an answer there. I know it's not as direct, but that is the limitation with dealing with industry, because these people are investors. They're in the country to make money. So at some point, we just need to then meet them halfway and see how best can we get our young people participating without compromising the investment.
Yeah, you know, the apprenticeship program, like it was in the old day, I think that was the best model possible. You do 3 months theory, then 3 months you work in the field. Are the internship apprentice programs currently open at the ZES, and how does it work?
Okay, unfortunately, at this stage, there's nothing open. We have made application to the different CETAs to get the grants. As soon as those have been approved, we will be able then to reach out to the local communities and give those opportunities as they become available.
How can matriculants position themselves for opportunities in the automotive sector?
I think this one is a one that matriculants would not like, or the high schoolers would not like. There is still a need for maths and science because we play in the industry that is automotive, and there's a bit of engineering happening. Even on the construction side, you need a bit of maths and a bit of science for you to participate meaningfully. So the advice there would be for our learners to start honestly focusing on their maths and science to ensure that they are able to participate meaningfully. But even those, because they're now speaking matriculants, it's almost a choice has been made by that stage. If you've already chosen maths lit, you already have maths lit. But where opportunities are available for our learners to upgrade, we would truly appreciate it, because what we have seen is that those students with maths and science, they stand a better chance of competing in the space than those without the two subjects. But for everybody else, opportunities will be there. But we'll then encourage that matriculants, they start looking at opportunities within TASES. Like you said, they can go to our website. What we have done in the past, we have done a few career expos. I think at some point, we even here at the Civic Center with EY, I can't remember the youth movement in Esperance, but we did come through. And we also had one in Mamelodi.
Yeah.
So we are available. They can call us. In fact, at some point, I had a chat with the principal at Esperance High School. I'm not sure if yellow is the right word to call it, but we had a chat there and we said, Principal, any stage, if you need us to come to speak to the learners, we are available. We spoke to the principal as Prosperitas. We are finalizing our arrangement with the department. We will be going to Prosperitas to finalize an arrangement with them, because we already adopted one school in Mamelodi, the Rabanlaka School of Specialization. But from the executive in our space, or our leaders at TASES, they have encouraged that we need to engage Prosperitas in Esterres, we need to engage two other Tinker schools in Mamelodi, and there's one school in Nelmapias. They call it the Blue Roof. I can't remember the name of the school, but those in Nelmapias will know what the Blue Roof school is.
But our local school here, the Blue School, like we call it, Prosperitas High, used to have an entire center where people did motor mechanic, tool making, and electrician. I think welding as well. I don't know why did it close down. I think maybe you guys must engage them and see what can be done, because that was a fully fitted center.
Just out of interest, Pablo, we spoke to Mr. Graffitz, I think he's still the principal.
Yeah, he's the principal,
Last year sometime, I think, they've already started with the technical program.
Wow.
There is a technical training that's happening there at the school. We're exposed to it sometime last year, I think.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
So, but also the partnering is informed also by that. But we just need to find out how do we then incorporate other schools into the same program. So we are not being seen to be selective to particular schools. But we have engaged as far even as with your primary schools. I think we went to Nantes Primary at some point. We made a promise there, which we hope to still live up to. We have not, if the principal is listening, I think she's now retired. We'll still plan to go back and
now she is,
fulfill
she is
our wait. Yeah.
She is there. This is just a comment. It is outside of the ZES. Just want to pick your brain on it. Do you think, this is a question, the unemployed people, especially the youth, need more interaction like this now in non-financial interventions? Because the youth always say, I need a business, I need money, I need money. Like how to do self-development, how to use AI to transform their dreams into reality and basic hustle strategies.
I honestly think we need a serious engagement with our youth. We've had instances, we have a lot of job seekers, by the way, on our database. Half of them, when you call them, they don't pick up. When you ask them the day you meet, they say, I didn't know the number. Now, that is a strange thing because you are a job seeker, you are looking for employment, you have applied. You don't know the number of the person you have applied with.
Yes.
How do you pick numbers?
Exactly.
Pick up the call. If it's a Mashonisa, you can drop it. If it's an insurance company, you can drop it. But at least listen to the first sentence from the call.
Yes.
Because we've had those experiences.
Exactly.
It's even worse. We've had experiences where people rock up for an interview in slippers and stoffies and... Like you'd be amazed at the level of how our young people sometimes conduct themselves. And I think we honestly need to have a serious engagement between ourselves and them to say, but because we are coming to an interview and there's 10 of you competing, there needs to be something that stands out about you. Now, if you are there in your flip-flops, people just say, this guy's not serious, then they might not pick you. Yeah. But there is a need. And most of them, and most of our young people have access to free internet connectivity. But you must check what they use it for. And when you're encouraging that, but it becomes critical. That even when they come, we have had people coming for interview at TASAS, they don't even know what TASAS stands for. And we've said, but had you just gone to the website, that would have been a simple question to answer. So there is a need for that. I would not reject that.
Okay, this is the last question. How are the CSI initiatives accessed? I mean, assistant with community projects. Okay, it's a question by the listener.
Okay. On that one, I'm going to answer it this way. And I've tried throughout the interview to make practical examples of the things that we have done so that we are not seen just to be preaching and not living up to our weight. I think last year, December or November, there's an athletics club in Easteres. It's called CAD, the acronym. I can't remember the full name. One of our investors actually went and met them and they donated some of the items. I think Port FM can just go and just verify what I'm saying so that at least the listeners know that we are living up to it. The only challenge with the NGO and NPO space is that when they come, they expect a response the following day. Now, these guys that I'm referring to, they came to us, I think, 4 or 6 months before the fact, and we could not have an answer then. We just said, no, it's fine. We'll share your proposals with our investors and see if there's anyone who takes up on your request. And indeed, lo and behold, 6 months later, one investor said, no, I'm prepared to go and assist. So we are just pleading with our local NGOs and NPOs to say, at least when you come, just give us some time to engage, because some of our investors are foreign. They come from foreign countries. They really don't understand why they need to be involved with local communities. So it's something that we are pushing to achieve. But equally in that space, and I'm sorry I'm taking some time.
No, we have.
We've had chance takers. And those people are honestly creating a challenge for genuine NPOs and NGOs. Because our investors, they would do surprise visits. There's one orphanage, they did a surprise visit, there was no children there. There's no orphanage, it's just a normal house on a normal day. But on the day that they know visitors are coming, all of a sudden there's kids there. It's an orphanage. But if you do a surprise visit, it's something else. Now that thing kills our investor spirit. So we're just also cautioning those who are chance taking to say, but be careful of what you're doing, because we are compromising opportunities for other people who are genuine and who wants assistance, and they are assisting kids. I think a while back we just hosted some sport activity there by the rugby stadium, where we're having teams from Easteres playing, I think soccer, rugby and cricket, something of that sort. And we just came to sponsor, so that is just that activity to say, we're here, but let's engage on other meaningful things and see if we cannot get value out of those things. So I think that is the response to the question. We are open to it. We don't necessarily have a formal program. We are in the process of finalizing the formal program so that people know when to submit requests. But for now, we receive them as and when they come.
Wow. still as passionate as many years ago. Mr. Semenjani, your closing remarks for the youth, for the people who listen about TZS, about opportunities, and anything you want to say about life.
I think as a parting shot, and this is one I speak it with a heavy heart, most of our beneficiaries, when they become successful, they shy away from mentioning us. There's a few people in Port who are employed as the SEZ, but whenever there are community meetings or there's a community outreach, they hardly show up. Now we become like a lottery. You know, lottery people win it, but you don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
Now we are pleading to those who are benefiting from the SEZ that, guys, come out. There are SMMEs that I know from ESTRS that have benefited from the project. We would be happy that when we have an event that is SEZ, just stand up and say, I am a beneficiary, because that then gives confidence to everybody else to say, indeed, this thing is working. But as things 100%. Stand, it's something that is a bit difficult. But I think I'm just encouraging everyone. And those who are job seekers, please don't lose heart. Continue to push. I say we are unique in a sense that, unlike Boxer, you know, people drop their CVs at Boxer and they never ask. But at TASES, 2 years later, we still welcome somebody asking what happened to my CVs. And we still make time to respond. And we've been saying to our local communities, I think we're unique. There's no company that is like us. In other companies, you make an application. If they don't respond to you within 90 days or 30 days, you know you're unsuccessful.
Mm.
But at TASES, we've had even communities of ESTRS coming through, some of them raising issues that were not necessarily TASES related, they were fraud related, but we still made sure that we make time and we listen. So as in closing, I just need to separate. There is the old Ford, Sigma, Chrysler, Samka.
Yes.
The one that you see on Simon Fairmonte.
Yes.
Behind that Ford, the new companies are SEZ there. That's TASES.
Oh.
So Ford is independent. They still run their own operations independent from us.
Okay.
And TASES, we do our own thing. But in the SEZ, there is one facility that is leased out to Ford. So Ford is our tenant on the new factories. So the new factories that you see there, just next door to the buses and behind Ford, that is the Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone, which is wholly owned by the government of South Africa. And we are available to respond to those. But we have in the past responded to queries from Ford, and we continue to respond to those. Again, you spoke on the upholstery and the car seats. There's a company just next door to Ford. We're engaging tomorrow, Adient, which makes the car seats.
Okay.
We are trying to say, are they not able to adopt the TASES model of saying, for all opportunities, can we start locally before we go outside? And we think they are amicable to that. They just need to trust us. We've had unfortunate situations where the locals have been seen to be a bit rowdy than the visitors.
Mm.
And some employers have taken attitude that I would rather have somebody from the PE as opposed to having a person from ESTRS, because these ones, they tend to be more violent, more rowdy. And I'm again saying to the community, we need to protect that investment.
Mm.
There's more than 10,000 direct jobs between ourselves and Ford, and there's about 40,000 indirect jobs.
Wow.
If we lose that investment, you can imagine the number of people who go hungry. Because for every employed individual, there's about 4 or 5 mouths that person is feeding. So we're just pleading. We're not saying people must forgo their rights of protest and all that. But we're saying when we do it, let's do it responsibly, because the whole world is watching.
Mm.
And if we are able to manage ourselves differently, we attract investment.
Mm.
But if we are not, then that investment, they disinvest and they go.
Exactly.
Because there's other countries that are competing with us for the same investment that we have.
Yes.
So that is just imparting to say to the community of ESTRS Port listeners, let's make sure that whatever we do it responsibly and within the law, so that at least the investors can have some confidence in us as a country to come and place more investment, because more investment means more jobs, more opportunities, more business opportunities, more CSI. So we're encouraging that we take it from that aspect of things. Thanks, Pablo.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I think we had a great show. And earlier I give you numbers. There's only one number that you must dial, that you must send the messages to if you want information. 064-119 6071. That's our official WhatsApp number. Like I said, if you need to ask anything, if you didn't listen to the show, go to the website of TAZES, then WhatsApp us on 064-119-6071. Mr. Semenjani, I am honored to have you in studio. I can see the passion. You came with nothing in front of you. All the questions were peppered and you know your stuff. That's how passionate you are. Thank you once again. I hope it's not the last time that we see each other here. Maybe take the conversation further and higher up. Thank you. And may God bless you. May God bless the Zest with the good work you're doing and everything of the best.
No, thank you for that. We receive the words of gratitude and we wish Port FM all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
2020 was a groundbreaking year. Since then, the Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone has attracted a number of global automotive manufacturers, creating sustainable and meaningful job opportunities. Based in the heart of the city of Tshwane, we are mandated to transform the automotive sector and contribute to the country's social and economic development imperatives. TAZES, Africa's first automotive city.
Today's edition of The Host was proudly brought to you by the Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone, TAZES.
You are listening to Blood FM, Kiestra's number one.